I like to look at a leader, not necessarily with like the obstacle that's in front of them, but how they actually approach that obstacle and how they attack it and what steps do they take after the fact. Got to be flexible. You got to be ready to do things you may not be comfortable with, but that's going to push you to grow.
Can you help us know how to think about you as a resource? They're hearing you and they're like, wow, I want more of that.
If you're someone who is currently in a role today that you're not feeling like you are reaching your potential, maybe you feel like you should be at a higher level, or maybe you feel like, man, this company doesn't value me the way that I feel like I'm being valued. Maybe I want to look elsewhere. I'm a huge resource for that, because basically what I can help you do is make your profile and your strategy be so compelling that people will start reaching out to you and want to poach you from where you are into where you want to be, as opposed to you looking and applying. You know, if you're only using LinkedIn when you need it, it's too late. You know, out of the millions of people that are on LinkedIn, less than 5% of people are actually posting content. What I would recommend is...
Everybody, welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's Real Talk is with a real leader who I am just so taken by, so impressed with. Danielle Mill-Walden is here today, and she is the founder, CEO, and podcast host of Headstrong. I can't wait to hear the skinny behind the name of that. I think I know. And as if you needed one more thing, I am adding business athlete to all the other things that you do, and so we'll get into that in a bit too. So Danielle, welcome. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to talk with you. Once I knew this was going to be about being a business athlete, I was like, oh, I'm so excited. Can't wait.
You're like, that's me. As if I needed one more thing. So folks, I have alluded to that a second ago. And so Danielle, you're also a LinkedIn brand expert, a former professional tennis player, keynote speaker, best-selling author. I mean, you definitely get out there and get it done. Congrats on everything.
Thank you so much. I never thought that I would have author in my, you know, list of intros, but that was one that I'm really excited about among everything. So yeah, I love it.
That's amazing. It really is. And folks, I always give you an idea of how I know my guests. And Danielle was referred to me by Jennifer Bagley, who was on. Jennifer did a new year, new job episode with me at the start of this year, and it was awesome. And so you're working with Jennifer, you played tennis with Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you so much for bringing us together. So talk a little about that. How has your relationship kind of brought you to where you are today with Jennifer?
Yeah, it's so cool to talk about, because growing up, I looked up to Jennifer so much when I was playing tennis and I was a junior. We both attended the World Renowned Academy Voluntaries in Florida. And, you know, she was so good, and she's, you know, a couple years older than me. So I always looked up to her, and, you know, coming full circle and getting to like reconnect with her again as an adult. We both share a passion in speaking and in being out there. So she's really helping me when it comes to landing more keynote speeches and events and things like that. So I've been working closely with her, and it's just been so comforting having someone who knows me so well from the athlete standpoint, who's literally had the same type of upbringing as me, and who can connect the dots and help me see what she's really great at, which I'm working on, and she's a great, great coach for this, is taking the experiences I've had and kind of correlating them into a story that's impactful. So that's one thing she's an expert at that I love, you know, working with her, because I've had so many crazy stories and scenarios that have happened to me when I was a professional tennis player training at this sports academy. And so much of my mindset and my upbringing stems from that. But she's got the art of like taking that and then, you know, correlating it into an impactful story that has like a beginning, middle, end, and kind of leaves people like, ooh, like what's next? You know, like that's where she's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what a story you have to tell. I think that, you know, coming from that background, you know, to be able to take all that you learn, that mindset again, which is very much the foundation of being a business athlete, that stick-to-itiveness, that drive, that flexibility and adaptability, which I'm going to get back to later, was something that I read that you posted. But I think it's really interesting, because I think that you don't have to be an athlete to have that in business. But at the same time, I think when you can come from that athletic background and pull on those things, it can really help in that seat of business and in leadership specifically.
Oh, 1,000%. Like, I draw on so much from my athlete background in my day-to-day and what I'm doing with my business, when I meet with people, just like so much stems from that. And, you know, it kind of, in my opinion, gives me like a mini leg up, because the kind of things that I was dealing with, you know, now don't seem as crazy anymore. But, you know, a lot of that work ethic and grit, like that you spoke of, for me is just like innately within. And I just assume that that's just how people are. And then I'm, you know, reminded like, oh, okay, you're a little intense. Like, I need to, you know, depending on who I'm working with, like, I may come across intense, but I'm so excited and I'm passionate and I want people to succeed and reach their potential. So I bring that energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talk so much about optimal performance, and that was the same optimal performance that you were striving for on the court. And you're also doing that in business. And I am going to pause. I was going to do this later, but I wrote this down, so I'm just going to quote it here. You wrote on a post, "Today, I value the skill set in being able to be flexible and adjust in conditions that are not always ideal." And I think that's so important because, again, in business, in athletics, and in life in general, the less adaptable we are, the more we really can get just thrown by things big and small.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%, because literally, like, I like to look at a leader, not necessarily with like the obstacle that's in front of them, but how they actually approach that obstacle and how they attack it and what steps do they take after the fact, because we all have obstacles, we all have adversity, and being able to be adaptable and nimble and flexible, that person tends to like be okay, versus the person who's like, it has to be a certain way. And if it's a little bit different, then I can't do anything. And it's like, that's the wrong mindset, because as you mentioned, everything can change at any moment. You got to be ready. And in this current job market, what we're dealing with, the economy, you got to be flexible. You got to be ready to do things you may not be comfortable with, but that's going to push you to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a great point. Like, we've seen so much change in the marketplace, layoffs, people moving jobs, all of that. And so much of it, to your point, is about how do we react in that moment? And it is so human to be upset, or, you know, to be knocked on our heels. But again, it, like, we can only sit in that place for so long before we, again, like, get moving, get back out there again, get swinging or run or whatever you want to say. And something that I remember when you were talking is, when I'm leading people, I often say to them that there's a challenge has happened, a mistake someone made, even if it's big, it's, okay, I'm not so upset that the mistake happened. It's all in what do we do now? And I think that just can make or break it for people.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. You know, you mentioned the layoffs, and, you know, that was something that I used to, you know, train people on and coach people on, but I never personally experienced. But I had this experience happen very close to home when my husband experienced a layoff last year, and getting to witness him go through the process and being there for him to support him, but then also, you know, us working together to strategize, okay, this happened to us, now what? Let's take the necessary steps. And I was able to view it from a different standpoint with it being so close to home, as opposed to just training people and coaching people on it, but not necessarily fully understanding what they were going through. Now it's like, oh, I feel this. Let's get you out of this, because it is a very tough, and so many people are still dealing with that. And I know you remember a couple months back where there were so many happening at once every day. Yeah. On LinkedIn, it was like, yeah, this thousands of people, this company, that company. It was like boom, boom, boom. And I know for many people it was their first time, and for others it had happened multiple times. So, you know, to your point, like, having a strategy, or, you know, knowing where to go to get help is really important in those situations, and always staying ready, because you never know when you have to be ready. Like, always being ready for the inevitable, you never know.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you hear as an athlete, stay ready so you don't have to get ready? But it's the same mindset. And I'm glad we kind of segued into that, because as I introduced you, you're a LinkedIn brand expert. So it's a great opportunity for us just to dive into that. Before we do, for the audiences that are listening, can you help us know how to think about you as a resource? They're hearing you and they're like, wow, I want more of that. Or, you know, where... how should they think about you as a resource?
Yeah, so basically, if you're someone who is currently in a role today that you're not feeling like you are reaching your potential, maybe you feel like you should be at a higher level, or maybe you feel like, man, this company doesn't value me the way that I feel like I'm being valued. Maybe I want to look elsewhere and you're wanting to kind of make that jump, or you're looking to get recruited. I'm a huge resource for that, because basically what I can help you do is make your profile and your strategy be so compelling that people will start reaching out to you and want to poach you from where you are into where you want to be, as opposed to you looking and applying, which is the reverse strategy that I always teach. Because, if you're only using LinkedIn when you need it, it's too late. You have to be proactive. You have to have, the right things in place from your profile, so that way when the time does come or you do want to make a move, you can actually pick from people who are already in your inbox who want you, versus now let me start applying to people. So that's one avenue. And then another avenue that people can leverage me with is if you're a part of an organization or a company and you want your team to be stronger with LinkedIn to recruit better talent, or to basically sell and to get people business. That's another avenue that I do, as well as helping businesses improve on LinkedIn or helping their staff improve on LinkedIn.
Those are great. It's great for us to know. Thank you. So before we can even get to the point of how do I, like using it, as you're saying, for job searching and networking, let's start with the ground level of comfort level and even being active at all on the platform. Because I think there's so many people at various levels. I mean, I was talking to someone very recently, who's probably in her late 20s, late early 30s, and she's just so intimidated to even like or comment on anything. And so I'll stop there. What do you have to say to people in the audience who may feel that way?
Yeah, and that's very normal to feel that way. I'll say this st statistic is like, out of the millions of people that are on LinkedIn, less than 5% of people are actually posting content. So as I talk about this, compared to the Instagrams and the Facebooks and the YouTubes of the world, where there's so much saturation and you may post something, but the chance of it actually getting seen or, is very small. On LinkedIn, the opportunity is very big. So I say that to say, if you're not someone who feels extremely confident posting your own content, which is a strategy that I teach, commenting on other people's posts is really important. And if you're feeling like scared to like something or engage with something, because maybe your fear is, oh, what perception will that be? Will my employer see this? What's the reaction going to be? Just be selective in the stuff that you're engaging in. So if you, what I like to recommend is, let's say your niche is engineering, for example, or marketing. And you find on LinkedIn who are the experts in marketing, who are the thought leaders in marketing, who are saying things that your company would deem to be, good advice or good stuff. These are the kind of people that you would want to engage with on the platform, because that's only going to make people who look at your page see that you're liking and engaging on that type of thing. And then the more people will see that. So I don't say, if you're that person who's a little bit fearful, don't like and engage on some topic that's going to make your audience or your employer, your boss be like, what are you doing? You can be really strategic and use that as practice. And that's what I would advise somebody to start.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great way to give that guidance. And I think something just to lean in there, something that I've also shared with people is find some friendlies in there. So like, if you know me and I'm posting, start to comment on mine. And because I think there is a practice and a process of finding your voice. Like, do I want to be like, what is the voice and tone that I have on LinkedIn? I'm a huge proponent of just being authentic, just be who you are. And I also know that some people have more of a business persona or, that kind of thing. So again, I think if we can find some friendlies there and discover how do we want to talk, air quotes, talk on LinkedIn, that's also a really nice way to just get some training wheels going.
I agree with you. And when you said, find your voice, be authentic, that's the best advice that you could do, is to be yourself and be who you are. But we say that to say you don't necessarily need to be how you are in your personal life or on other platforms, which could be a lot more overt than on LinkedIn, because mindful, it's still, a work platform. And people always, there's all these debates always on the platform. Is this for LinkedIn? Is this for Facebook? Like, what are these people doing? Depending on the industry they're in, it's all relevant. But It's just whatever you feel comfortable with. And, you know, speaking in your own voice is going to give you the best results, being who you are. Like if you're very, you know, robotic and what you're saying doesn't sound entertaining, nobody's going to even engage with you. But to your point of finding friendlies, what you were saying is so important, because if you start engaging on somebody you know's content, it's a friend, it's a colleague, when you post something, they'll engage on yours. It just starts to create that friendly other people's network type of thing. And that just drives engagement.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great point about the reciprocation there. Also, when I heard somewhere along the lines, much like what you said, is that you don't necessarily have to start posting your own content, but if you start to comment on others, again, it gets you going in it. But I actually heard that that can be even more effective than if you're than your own posts. So I actually started, and I have to be better about this, to be quite honest. I've been trying to do it the last week or so, but is to actually carve out time, even if it's 5 minutes a day, to go in and find other conversations that I want to comment on. And so, again, I think sometimes we have to give ourselves these these tactics to do to keep us, kind of on the track.
I 1,000% agree with what you just said, because, you know, think about and I'm talking to your audience. If your audience right now, you're somebody on LinkedIn who's got less than 500 connections, which is what LinkedIn deems as, once you have more than 500 connections, it's like you're good. It's not like in other platforms, you need millions or thousands. Once you get over 500, they'd say 500 plus. So you're in good shape. Let's say you have less than 500 connections and you post a video or a post, you're only going to get seen by those 500 connections. But if you engage on the content of somebody who you like and trust and has a network, but you make a thoughtful, thought-provoking, response, people who are looking at that post because they have a lot more traction are seeing you, that can cause them to click on you and want to go on your page. So that's why, like, being thoughtful and actually responding with your key points, what you agree about the post, what you maybe disagree, challenging it, but respectfully, articulately, like, these are the things that will make people go on your page, and it can get you more connections and more people reaching out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Such great points. Thank you. I also started, like, sometimes if I'll lean in and I don't know the person at all, and it's not that somebody else turned me on to them or something like that, I just happen to see it, I will literally write, I don't know you. I admit I do not know you, and X, Y, Z. And it's been funny because sometimes I've gotten responses from other people to a comment that I make like that. Because I think, again, sometimes if we can pull back that wall of, like, it has to be so formal,
right?
Then I think that can give us a bit more ease to which to just be able to say something.
Absolutely. And, like, one of the powers of LinkedIn is the inbox, which, it can be the best part or the worst part, depending on, what type of messages are in your inbox. I'm laughing, Shauna, because I'm sure you're getting people, like, with a template message trying to sell you something. That's not a good approach, guys. But your inbox is such a great avenue for business, for networking, for relationships. And I always say, like, so many of the business deals I do, the work I do, the people I meet, the impactful people that change my life come from my LinkedIn inbox. And I always say, like, you have a pot of gold in your inbox. You just have to find it. You got to dig through the dirt to see it. But there's so much gold in there if you just give it a moment and sift through all the people reaching out trying to get something from you. There's a lot of gold in there. So yeah, there's a lot of gold in that inbox.
Yeah, I appreciate you say that. You're right. I did laugh because of the amount of kind of spammy templated messages I'll get. And I think I heard you saying something I was watching the live with you and Jennifer, and you were talking about dunk the template and be real in your outreach. Show that you actually know a little bit about this person or find something. So I really love that you said that. I was also laughing because when I hear about these inappropriate things that get messaged to people, I'm like, wait, what? This is happening? It's crazy. So to your point you said earlier, we all have to remember the professional nature of the platform. And there's a lot of benefit from it, to your point.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't have, like, people trying to, like, ask me to marry them or just do these crazy things through the platform. And, you know, whenever I look at these people, a lot of times they're from other countries or they don't seem legitimate. So I'm like, okay, at least this person does not have any type of like feeling that they could, you know, lose out on something. But yeah, there's a lot of that on the platform. But professionalism piece is the most important. Like, it is a business platform and you conduct yourself that way. You use it for networking. If you use it for these opportunities, you will have so much positive result from it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to say one more thing before we get off the messages, because I think sometimes we can also really let those messages, those sales messages, that kind of thing, get to us or really annoy us. And so I would love to know if you have any sort of special tips for how to handle it. Do you respond? Do you not? Like, do you, I don't know, like what are your thoughts for how we handle those type of messages?
Yeah, when you're getting like a pitch or something that's very spammy, salesy, templated, depending on what it is, if it's something that you're actually interested in learning more about, you obviously can respond, but very much so like break the template in your response, be very genuine in your response. But more times than not, somebody's pitching you something you don't really need or you're not interested in, I typically just don't respond at all unless the person continues to say like the same message maybe 6 or 7 different times in their follow-up, where I occasionally will say, you know, hey, you know, I'm not interested, but just some word of advice, you know, the more catered message you could, like, if you can make this a little bit more catered, I think you'll have a better result. That's if I have, you know, time, but usually I just don't respond at all to these types of messages. Unfortunately, there's somebody out there teaching people that templated email pitches are a good idea on LinkedIn, and I need to talk to them because they're not getting good conversions.
Yes, absolutely. I think everybody listening to this could probably agree with you. I had someone message me recently, and you know, this on this platform, really my mission is elevating voices of diverse, authentic leaders. I believe in it so much. And the person was pitching me, basically telling me that wasn't really important and this whole thing. And you know, it was funny because part of me wanted to just dig in, like go at him. And I type, delete. And then I just had to realize that it didn't do me. It wasn't going to serve me anything to put my energy there. I didn't need to change him or whatever. And I was just like, delete and block. And I'm not a big like, oh, I'm going to block you, whatever. But at the same time, so I just offer that up as something where, you know, we're talking about the various messages and how we respond. And also sometimes how much we like even allow ourselves to get bent on a shape about something. So anyway, this is great. Thank you. Okay. So can we talk about how much the platform has changed even over the last 3 years, some trends that you're seeing and which can kind of lean into some tips that you have for people?
Yeah, the platform has changed a lot over the past couple of years. Like videos that I used to post, and I'm somebody who's a really big proponent of doing video content, because with video content, people get to hear how you talk, hear how you speak, how you present yourself, and they start to feel like they know you, you know, just like when you're watching reality TV or you're watching these people and you're like, I know the Kardashians, I see them all the time. And you're like, well, you really don't know them, but it feels like you do because you hear them speak all the time. Similar to that with video. But anyways, you know, posts that I used to do on video 3 years ago that would get between 25 to 50,000 views, maybe today are getting 1,000 to 2,000 views. So if I'm somebody who's very view driven, I'd be like, well, this is terrible. My views have gone down. I don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you, Shauna, that I'm converting people at a higher level today because the people who are viewing my content and engaging with it are actually reaching out and wanting to do business, where before, wide net, a lot of views, very little conversion. So I think what LinkedIn has done is started to learn what people are speaking about and kind of focusing that towards a group of people. And it's like more focused. So if you start to see in your posts less engagement than you used to, don't get so discouraged, because the people that are actually engaging and viewing and commenting really want to be your customer or really want to be your connection or your friend or whoever. Like those are the people you need to speak directly to, because it's a much more focus group.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because I think for people who, you know, even sometimes you've got that comparison brain, well, this person is doing so well, or I was doing that, and then you can really, you know, get worried about it. But I think there's also a degree of that, which is not every post is going to be a hit. And, you know, and sometimes it can take a while. I think sometimes if you're just starting to post, I think some of that consistency and really can make a difference. That's my thinking in my experience. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, with your posts, do you try to stay like the same time of day when you post? And I don't know how much you're posting today, but like with what I usually advise somebody to do if you're just starting out and you're not accustomed to posting on LinkedIn, do twice a week in the morning between like 9:30 to 10 a.m. in your own time zone.
Yeah.
LinkedIn's more of a morning platform. People are on it as they're getting ready for work or about to be at work versus like a very late at night platform or a weekend platform, very much during the week. So I always like to tell people to start there. But when you really start getting good, it's every day posting something, but always around the same time of day, because the algorithm begins to like know that this is when you post. You're the expert in these topics. Let's get it to your people. If it's fluctuating a ton, it doesn't know who to really pair it with. So I don't know, Shauna, are you doing it at like around the same time of day, or are you kind of like experimenting? What are you doing right now?
Generally, it's that morning time. I'm a creature of very early morning habits, so I have to actually make myself not post that early sometimes. You know, there's also sometimes where a lot of times if I'm writing something and I'm like, I do these Sunday posts, they're called Sunday stories, and it's usually related to some sort of bike ride that I've done over the weekend.
Yeah.
So that's something that I end up posting in the evening on Sunday. I think of it as like setting people up for success for the week ahead. But it's also sometimes if I don't have the creative, whatever juices flowing to write, I can't, you know, it's one of those things that really has to be like when it comes to me. So that is the one that I don't do at night. And I know I do it. I mean, I don't do it in the morning, excuse me. And I know I do it on the weekend, but so I know I kind of buck the, what's probably the right way to go about it. And at least, so I said to you, I saw you on Jennifer's Live. I've been looking at your posts. So just in the last few days, as I was posting, I was really conscious of the things that you're saying and the tips that you've provided. So I'm so grateful for what you're doing. And I think how much you do share that is really important. So folks, I'm telling you, Danielle is definitely one to follow and listen in on. So let's talk about content strategy though more, because I'd love for you to give some recommendations around that, because it's not necessarily haphazard isn't the best way. Or if you're starting out, it's often good to think of, well, gosh, if I can put somewhat of a formula to this, then I can also take some of that anxiety away from, you know, being active on the platform. So talk to us about content strategy.
Yeah. So really, before we even talk about content strategy, you have to decide what your goals are. If your goal is to build a professional brand that will follow you, whether you're at your current company, another company, another industry, like whatever the case is, that would give me one avenue to take you. But if you want to stay in your specific niche and what you're doing, what I would recommend is to try to become the expert of what you do. So that way, when people turn on LinkedIn and you pop up, they view you as the expert in blank. So if you're like a, you know, product manager and you want to be the expert in all things product management, every day I should be getting tips from you on how to be better in product management that are very catered to that audience, but not obviously revealing like company secrets. Like people always ask me like, oh, well, what would the company think? No. We're talking about key things that anybody in product marketing can do, or whatever I said, product management can do to do and to be better. So that's one avenue. But if you're wanting to build your own personal brand that you can take with you, whichever company you're in, because obviously people listening to this, everybody has different goals, different dreams. Some people want to be entrepreneurs, have their own business. Some people want to work and have great careers under great organizations. So let's say you did want to build a brand yourself. You have to decide, okay, what's going to be special about me? And what am I going to speak to every day and be the expert in that thing? And that's kind of like, for me, what I've kind of coined myself as being an expert in anything LinkedIn and content. But if you look at my page, a lot of what I speak to is mindset and goals and, you know, being positive and how to overcome obstacles, which you know, is connected to what I do on my day-to-day, but it's still, you know, kind of broad. A lot of people can relate to that, whether they work for somebody or they're an entrepreneur. But no matter what I do, I always speak about those core things because that's who I am. That's my brand. It's everything mindset with Headstrong. So I would challenge, you know, your audience to kind of figure out, do they want to build their own brand? Because that's a great way to kind of make yourself resourceful no matter what happens. Or you can still, within your niche of whatever company you're working for, be an expert in that space, but really kind of niche it down. And then just know that when you post content, when you're really, really niched, you know, you'll do really great there, but a wide audience may not see that because it won't relate to them in the same way that, you know, maybe a more personal brand approach that could be more broad. So two different strategies. We can obviously go deeper, but that's kind of what I would advise.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. So is it possible to do a little bit of both?
Yes, absolutely. So the strategy, I think I said this on Jennifer's, is like the jab, jab, hook strategy where it's like, you know, whichever one you want to kind of really own the most, you do like three posts like that, and then you do one post that's slightly different, and then three posts like that, and one post that's different. So the person who's watching you, your audience, you know, they're getting both, but they know like your core message is this, but you're really good at this. Your core message is this, but you're good at this. And that's what I tell salespeople too, because, you know, there's so many people in sales roles that are on LinkedIn trying to sell through LinkedIn. And they're like, why aren't I selling anything? Why aren't my posts getting any traction? It's because every post they do is about like what they're selling and why they're selling it versus who are they trying to help? And what are the pain points? How are you solving problems? It's reverse. So it's kind of that jab, jab, hook, like curiosity, curiosity, curiosity. Here's the product. Curiosity, curiosity, curiosity. Here's the product versus product, product, product. And people are like sick of it. They don't want to be sold. They want to be intrigued enough to be like, well, what are you actually talking about? You know, it's a strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious what you think about, as I know you said you work with people, you also work with organizations. So this is something that I've run into a couple times. Is an organization thinking that their staff member is obligated to use their platform to post about the organization? So I'm curious what you think of that, because, and I'll be really honest, when I was leading in a social, I was leading a setting within an agency of the communications team, and I honestly felt really strongly that we should give people a choice, like not make it that I assume that it's their obligation because they work here, and just giving them a choice if they do or don't. And I'm telling the people, hey, I would love it if you would share this about the agency, but it's your choice. So I'm curious, what's your thought about that? Do you run into that at all?
Yeah, I definitely run into that. It just depends. I feel the person, like what role they have within the company. Like if they are in a role that where the goal is just to drive awareness to something, maybe a press release or something. It's like, hey, can we have everybody just share this post on their page because we're trying to drive awareness? Cool. Like we could be a team player. We could share it. But if they're telling the staff like, hey, you have to post about us every day. Here's what you have to say. Like that is going to come across really inauthentic. And LinkedIn's not going to reward that. Because if you notice, people post about their company, what they're selling, what they're doing, those posts do very poorly. What I would advise a company to do is, let's say there's a press release happening. If that person can take that press release, but speak about it in their own words, their own dialogue, link to it maybe, you know, in a comment, that's going to do much better than them resharing a press release. So that's the strategy that I would coach on. Every company is going to be different. You obviously need to listen to what your employer is telling you, but I like that you were, you know, wanting to offer your team a choice, but I'm sure you would much rather have somebody create something that's unique in their own, but still speak about, hit the key points, but they're speaking about it in their own voice. That's going to do much better than just sharing a link or sharing, you know, a post.
Totally. Totally. Two things on that. One thing is that at that time, this is several years ago now, and I think it was kind of like again where the platform was and evolving. Well, I mean, it's happened many times since then. However, at that time, and that I was seeing like all these people from the same organization post the same thing. And again, it is not, I love that you pointed out that LinkedIn does not reward that. So again, the encouragement there, I'll just echo what you said, is to allow staff to and encourage staff to personalize it, use it how they want to. So that's the first point. The other point I thought that came to my mind is this is someone's personal brand to that point. This is their a staff member's identity that they've created and the work that they're putting in on their own time to engage with people, to develop a following, all of that. And I almost feel like it's, I literally question how much we should be asking them to insert, you know, a company message into that. So again, that's why for me, I feel like it's more of asking them to, and if they want to, great. And if not, okay. But I pointed out just because there are a lot of people in leadership seats. So I just wanted to bring it up and get your guidance.
No, I love that you pointed this out for two reasons. Number one, like there's been a shift in the way that the employee is functioning. I'd say like 5-10 years ago, like you had an employer, you may have stayed with that employer for a number of years. Like when we go back in time, like different generations, like the boomers, you know, they would work with one employer for 20 years. So like you had to be so loyal to that employer. So you didn't want to do anything to upset them. Well, that has changed when pensions kind of went away and things have changed. So now like people are, especially millennials and Gen Z, who I speak to a lot, I'm a millennial. You know, you're at a company because you want to be there, but they're way more mission driven. And it's like, if this company is not serving me anymore, or if I don't feel valued, like I know I can get an opportunity elsewhere. And that was not the mentality of the past. So I also bring that up because you mentioned like, you know, the employer, like they were feeling like, you know, entitled that you have to like post on their behalf, because employers used to feel like their employees are like their property, which, you know, a lot of employers may feel that way. But you said, you know, this is about your brand. And that's the way a lot of people are treating themselves now is, hey, I'm a brand. I have like a lot of skill set and value to add. So this is my own brand. And a lot of people can't just work their day job. They have other things that they need to do in order to make ends meet. So you can't really hold employees to the same standards that they used to back in the day, where it's like, you can only work for us. So you can't do anything else. And, you know, we own your image and likeness. And that's really changing and shifting. And I love that. I love to see it. I love when companies encourage it. I love my company I work for and a lot of other companies who are very open to this type of thing, because you can't force people to just do one thing and then, you know, you lay them off. Like you have to like, you know, people need to be able to make ends meet, and having a personal brand and being flexible allows you to do so. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. It's also, if we really think about it, if we can encourage people, ourselves, staff members, people in our care to be out there and be a voice and developing who they are, and we're also really taking care of them as staff, then
yeah,
I don't think we should necessarily so much worry that they're going to jump ship somewhere else. And again, if they do, okay, great. Like they're going to go, and if they get another experience, and then perhaps they come back, because again, it's that caring for them and helping their evolution, I think, which, you know, can make such a difference, rather than, to your point, treating them somehow like their property. And so those are great points. So thank you so much. A couple more things on this, and then I want to make sure I switch gears a little bit. Any misperceptions or big common mistakes you see people making that we can touch on?
Oh, yes. The biggest misconception on LinkedIn is you should only connect with people you know. And I'm like, why are you even on the platform to connect with people you know? Like, this is a platform to network. This is a platform to grow, to expand, to meet people you don't know, to leverage other people's contacts, networks. So people use this mentality of Facebook, like, oh, I got a friend request. Oh, I don't know them. I'm going to deny. On LinkedIn, I encourage people to literally connect with anybody and everybody you physically can. I mean, you can become a lot more selective when you have a pretty big audience, but especially in the beginning when you're starting from scratch, you want to connect with as many people as possible, because it may not be that person. It could be that person's second or third connection that could change your life. And if you would have denied them, you never would have got that opportunity. So that is, like, for me, the number one biggest misconception is only connecting with people you know.
Got it. I love that you said that, because I will say, so I personally think the videos that we put out for this show are awesome. And I credit Lester Love of Influence Media. And I met him on LinkedIn. And he messaged me one day, and we got to chatting. And, you know, down the line, all of a sudden now we're partnered. And it's awesome. Another woman named Tiffany Costango. we have become great friends. Again, it's like, I know you have so many people you can list, but I do think like there's a lot that can come from accepting and being open to conversation. As people say, I think it's like you're not like trying to develop like a social cool club or something. You're trying to like actually connect with people and expand horizons. So I think that's great advice. Okay. Anything left that you want to make sure we touch on with LinkedIn? Because I want to hop over to mindset a bit, because I know that's a big thing in Headstrong with you.
I guess the last thing I'll say is, you know, if you're listening to this right now and you don't have a LinkedIn, it's okay. We're here for you. It's very easy to download the app on your phone and create one. They've made it super easy. And like, don't feel bad that you don't have one yet, but use this, you know, opportunity listening to this podcast as a reminder, like, hey, let me make sure I have this. You know, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. A lot of people will tell me, hey, Danielle, you know, I'm a personal trainer, I'm a model, I'm this, like, do I need LinkedIn? And it's like, yeah, this is a professional network. Your LinkedIn speaks before you do. Even if in your current industry, it may not be the most prevalent way that people find you, it just adds that other layer of credibility to you that's going to help you reach a wide array of people. And I always say this, like on LinkedIn, this is where people have money. This is where people are professional. If you're trying to like do business, this is where you got to be. And if you're not there, that's going to be perceived negatively. So just let's change that. Get one today. Don't wait. Get one right now. It could take you about 5 minutes. So that's it for LinkedIn.
Thank you so much. So let's hop over to Headstrong. So I think with the whole mindset connection, I get the name of it, but tell us where the name came from.
Yeah. So literally when I was thinking about creating a company where the focus was going to be around mindset, I was thinking about all these different names and things that would ring to me. And when, you know, I remember like Livestrong was like a Nike campaign, and I'm like Livestrong, Headstrong, Headstrong, and like being headstrong. And it just like, once I heard it and I said it and I saw it, I was like, this is the phrase. This is what I want to be associated with. And that's kind of how it all happened. And honestly, I never thought that I would be in this space. It's just, you know, it was honestly on LinkedIn, people were telling me like, you're so positive. You always are saying something so happy. And like, you know, how are you like this? What makes you this way? And I kept having to answer the same questions. And that's another thing to your audience. If people keep asking you the same questions, you should start to like really pull those things. That's what people want. So that's what caused me to create it, because I'm like, okay, clearly the way I think about life, the way I think about things is not necessarily normal based on my upbringing, my background, with being a professional tennis player and, you know, doing a lot of mindset training. I'm like, I can turn this into something that I can help any person who doesn't necessarily have this upbringing think the way I do with some key tips and tricks that I teach, but also just teaching them how to shift their mindset. So that's kind of where it all started.
Yeah, so you have a podcast too, right?
Yes, the Headstrong podcast. So basically, you know, the goal is to kind of motivate and inspire people to reach their potential, that I have on different guests from all different areas of life, whether it be athletes, entertainers, business owners, entrepreneurs, regular everyday people. But the key factor is they all are successful. But what we like to speak about on the Headstrong podcast is, what were all of the obstacles and adversity that you had to go through to get to the success? Because everybody likes to say, oh, you're an overnight success, you're doing so well. And usually the most successful people had the worst things happen. And I like to dig into, how did your mindset help you push past it, and dig into that? Because the audience is listening like, hey, like, we could do that, or can we do this? And hearing somebody who's has so much success but go through so many bad things, like, that is motivating. So that's what I love about it.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I can't wait to dig into some of your episodes. But
yeah,
I think there's a couple of things stuck out to me in that. And I think it's a bit of like a form of representation, which I think is very similar to what I'm trying to do with my show and bring diverse, authentic leaders forward, because people can see those types of people and say, hey, I can be that too, you know, can be in that kind of a seat too. And then also you've got people, to your point, people who have been through really challenging times, challenging situations. So I think sometimes that can help someone say, like, that's a form of representation. Somebody else is going to have, you know, if they've had a hard time too, that's like, oh, I can be okay, I can bounce back. And so that came to mind. And then the other thing is something about like Sometimes those repeated challenges, I think, actually kind of help you build endurance.
Yes.
So that, again, it's like, so the next time you don't necessarily have to get your legs cut out from under you. The next time you're, you know, just more prepared. And I think, again, as we're saying this, I'm literally thinking about like you out on the tennis court or me out on basketball, you know, it's like, but I do think there's something, there's some commonality there.
I agree. I don't know. Tell me if you agree with this. Don't you find that like if there's one obstacle that you keep experiencing, if you avoid it, it just keeps showing up and like it just like finds you until you can like tackle it and overcome it. And then it's like, okay, it's like you pass that level of the game, but until you like get past that level, you literally get faced with this obstacle like everywhere. And I say that because like if you're somebody who's trying to be successful at anything you do, you're going to have obstacles, but it's all repetition and experience. And to your point, like sports prepares us for that, because anytime you're dealing with an opponent and you get beat and you can analyze why you were beat and you face them again and they do the same things, it's like, how are you going to react differently? Are you going to do the same thing you did and then be a loser again? Or are you going to make some adjustments and pivot like we talked about? And then now you're actually going to beat this opponent. And now it's like you've unlocked this other level of your own, like, you know, mindset. It's so powerful, because I feel like with every obstacle I overcame in my life, I get a bigger one that's slightly more complicated. And it's like, I gotta overcome that. And then it just makes you better. And I feel like the audience can relate to this, but don't run away from it. Run through it. It's not going to go away. It's only going to get bigger and come at you more.
Yeah. And that's such a great point. I literally say that it will keep happening to you. You will keep facing the same challenge if you don't deal with it. And sometimes that's our behavior when we're in the midst of something challenging. And so sometimes it's not always, you know, it's something else happening to us. Sometimes it's what we're contributing to make something happen. So again, I think it's a really great point. Face it, run through it, find a way to run around it, scale it, something, you know, or you're gonna be facing it again. So that's so great. So I guess like in putting it into action for you with the mindset practice that you do, whether it's facing adversity, going into your, like a big speech that you're going to give, you know, whatever, tackling something new, you do so many new things. So any kind of hints or cheat code for how to hack your mindset that we could pass on to the audience?
Yeah, I could give you like two areas that I talk about a lot. The first one is like, if you begin every day with gratitude, it sets your mindset up to like be ready to attack any day. So many of us are, you know, thinking like what we don't have or everything that's going wrong. And that like those little brain waves of like the negativity impact you. So if you could just either begin your days or end your days with a gratitude journal, writing down at least 5 to 6 key things each day you're grateful for, you can't be upset and experience gratitude at the same time. Like it just, it like cancels each other out. So that's number one. And then number two, like what I like to do whenever I'm going to start something new or whenever I'm going to do something big, like even today preparing for this, you know, this interview with you, this podcast, I always tell myself like, it's going to be a really, really great day. I'm going to attack this day and it's just going to be amazing. And it's so crazy. People are like, well, that's so cheesy. Like, do you really say that? And one of my mantras, my team will tell me, it's a great day to be great. Like, it's going to be a great day. And it's just super cheesy. But I find that when I say this and I really believe it, the day goes so well, especially if I know I'm going to have a lot of really important meetings I'm a little worried about, or I don't know how I'm going to do. Just going into the day, like, it's going to be great. It's going to work out. I'm ready. I'm prepared for this. Like, I know I can do it. Even if you don't, but speak it, you know, fake it till you make it is a motto that I do still leverage, and it does work. So I would say that, you know, to your audience, like it's normal to be nervous. It's normal to feel like you're not ready. It's normal to have imposter syndrome, but just trust that you were picked, you were selected, you had these opportunities for a reason. Let's show up and be our best version of ourselves. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so great and not cheesy at all. I was driving to a meeting a few months ago and I was listening to the radio and somebody said, have a great day on purpose. And yeah, I wrote it down. I posted it that day and I keep using it. And I do it as much, half the stuff I post is as much for me as it is for anybody else. Because, you know, again, like I'm dealing with all the things that I face. So I need these mindset hacks for myself. So it's another version of what you said, which I think is just beautiful to, you know, again, I think these are all tools and toolboxes that can help us to keep going. Because at the end of the day, that's it, right? It's like find the thing that we can do to keep those steps going every day. And sometimes we're going to run and sometimes we're going to hobble. but forward is the way. So last question for you is kind of going back to what I was saying about you doing a lot of different things. And you know, I know that I do a lot of things and a lot of people, sometimes I get reaction from people that you do a lot or, you know, oh, you're going to burn out and things like that. And so I don't think there's any solution for, or it's not like, oh, I'm just going to magically not burn out. But I'm curious, any tips that you can share or any just guidance around just kind of managing the various things that you do? And to me, I think of it as more as enriching the various things I do, which actually makes me more impactful to help people in their pursuit of optimal performance. That's my take, though. I'm curious what yours is.
Yeah, you know, you said that and it kind of gives me an aha moment because I've had people who can't really relate to somebody who does as many things as I do today. And they'll say things like, well, if you just focused on one of those things, it would be like really good. Like, why do you like spread out everything you're doing? And it's like very like accusatory judgment, like unnecessary. Like I'm asking for this advice. They're just giving it to me. Then what I like to say is, you know, I know who I am. I know that I'm the type of person that when I'm busy and I have a lot of things going on, it makes me be my best. When I'm only doing one thing, I spiral down. I know myself. I'm always someone who's had to manage a lot. When you're playing tennis and traveling the world, you're focused obviously on being a pro, but you're having to manage the travel and the coaches and the training and the sponsors. And like, there's a lot. So then leaving that world, going into corporate America and then your own business, like there's a lot you're managing. So I can handle a lot, maybe compared to other people. So for me, my normal is somebody else's a lot. So when somebody does want to project their, you know, doubt, it's a lot of projection, project their doubt onto you or onto me, I say, you know, hey, you know, that may not be my reality, but, you know, I appreciate you feeling that way. But just know that, like, for me, this works and I'm good. Or I just don't even acknowledge because I feel like I could be doing even more. And the tips is have, for me personally, is my Google Calendar is my life. I have it in there, it doesn't exist. And I've, you know, made the mistake where somebody's like, hey, can you call me tomorrow at 8? I'm like, yep. And if I don't put it in the calendar, I will not do it, because that's how I run my life, is by my calendar, my alerts. It's digital. I keep it everywhere. And some people will be like, well, everything you do is scheduled, even your personal stuff outside of work, even your, you know, stuff with your husband. And I'm like, yes, because he can see what I have going on. I can see what he's got going on. Like, this works for us. We're so busy. If we don't schedule, so many things would get missed. And for me, the calendar and having it digitally is huge. I know some people love the planner. I'm a lefty, so my handwriting's terrible. Like, I need it digital where I can access it anywhere. So that's my tip. But to your audience, like, you know, do what you feel passionate about, what you're called to do. We're all called to do something. And, you know, there's so many different things that we are great at. Just lean into those things. And what I found is my speaking is opening up opportunities for my podcast, which is opening up opportunities for my business. Like, it's all connected, even though it can seem very different. But yeah, it's all connected.
Yeah. Those are great points. And I could not agree with you more about the projections that people do. And I have to, yeah, sometimes it gets me. A couple of weeks ago, I got one of those should attacks from someone and I was like, oh, and it was really hard. But I had to, again, remember everything you're saying. That's like, I tick a certain way. So again, even I think we all have to meet ourselves with grace, but also with each other. So audience, just know that before you pull out a should, ask yourself if that's really necessary and how can it serve you or that person if you're going to do that. So Danielle, you're awesome. I'm so glad I've gotten to know you. Thanks for all that you shared today. I look forward to continuing to follow you and learn from you. So thank you so much. And I hope that you have an awesome day.
Thank you so much, Shauna. This conversation has given me so much to be excited about. I'm excited for your audience to hear this, and I can't wait to speak with you again and hopefully meet you in person soon.
I know, that would be awesome. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. Appreciate it. Have an awesome day.